I wonder what were your thoughts as we read this story of Joseph. What do you think of Joseph when we're reading it? Do you have a kind of gut reaction? And do you find him an unpleasant, spoiled teenager? Maybe a snitch telling about his brothers to his dad? Maybe you think of him as someone who thought he was better than everyone else. A boy who needs a big piece of humble pie. One very good Bible commentator, and he's very good. He's not a Christian, but you know, when he's looking at the text, he's quite good. And this is how he describes what is going on here. He says that Joseph's dreams were egotistic, boyish dreams. So what do you think of Joseph? But before we draw harsh conclusions against Joseph, can I just remind you of something very important? Do you remember what were the criticisms that our Lord Jesus Christ, what were the criticisms that he himself experienced? Weren't they very similar to the ones that Joseph, here in our story, experienced? Who does he think he is? He thinks that he's better than everyone else, doesn't he? So he thinks that he is the father's favorite. Who made him an arbiter, a judge over us? Who is he to condemn our actions? Is he the son of the carpenter? Is he going to reign over us? Are we going to bow down to him? So you see, many misunderstood Joseph. And many have also misunderstood Christ. So what we are going to see this morning is that Joseph, actually, he was not a spoiled teenager. But rather he and his experience, they are there in the beginning of the Bible, 1800 years before Christ. They are there to teach us about the coming Messiah, about Jesus Christ and what he would experience. So we are supposed this morning to look at the life of Joseph, and we are supposed to see in him a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are going to look at Joseph and see in him our Savior, who is an unfairly hated ruler and a man with a rejected message. A hated ruler with a rejected message. So let's dive into our passage. Now, the first thing we can see in our passage is that Joseph, he stood out among his brothers because in a sense he was the father's true heir. So if you look at verse 2, it says, "And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives." So you see, when Joseph, he was there taking care of the flock, taking care of the sheep with those other lads, he is there, but he wasn't there with brothers of the same mother. They were only his half-brothers. They were those 11 guys. They were born of slave women that his dad had taken as wives. But the only woman that his father Jacob, that Joseph's father Jacob truly loved, was Joseph's mother, a woman called Rachel. And she wasn't a slave, she was a free woman. So the author here, as he is putting this before us, he's already starting to draw some kind of distinction between who Joseph is and who his brothers are. And then again, this distinction between Joseph and his brothers are emphasized in verse 3, when his father gave him a robe of many colors. So this robe that was given to Joseph only, in a sense it represents the uniqueness of Joseph, his elevated status among his brother. A coat that maybe represents his status as unique, maybe even as the true heir of the Father. And now this unique status that Joseph gets to enjoy is a very bitter pill for these brothers to swallow. They hate it. They hate him. They hate the fact that he's the beloved father. They hated Joseph because they could see that his father loved him more than they loved them. Now, if you are a parent, you certainly know that it is not a good thing or a right thing for a father to love a child more than they love the other children. And that actually, it's very harmful because it provokes the other children. And it's not a good thing. It can provoke anger. However, our God, what is the saying in English? He writes using crooked lines or something along those lines. So our God, he takes situations that are not good, and he teaches us good lessons through crooked situations. And through this sad situation that there is a one beloved son of the Father, our Lord, he's teaching us about our Lord Jesus Christ again, about Christ's unique status. Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is loved by the Father, and in all things, Jesus Christ is pleasing to God the Father. While you and I, we become children of God through adoption when we are baptized and we receive our Lord Jesus Christ and we become his dwelling place. While you and I, we are also children of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he holds a unique position. While you and I, we displease our God and our Father. And just this morning we were praying and confessing our sins. Our sins in the times we sin in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. We displease God at times. But Jesus Christ, again, he's unique because he never, ever has displeased our Lord and God, our Father. You might remember when Jesus was being baptized, a voice comes from heaven. And what does that voice say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I love him, and everything that he does is right. He pleases me in every step of the way. So this is our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what this sad situation is teaching us. So Joseph, he also, as we saw, he received this robe of many colors, representing his elevated status among his brothers. And the Bible teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ, he's clothed with a spirit without measure. Christ stands alone. He stands distinguished, exalted among all of us, among all his brothers. So Jacob's unique love for Joseph, even though it was sinful at the time, it teaches us something about our God and Father. And it teaches us about his unique love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story tells us that Joseph, he used to work with his brothers in the field and taking care of the sheep. He would certainly share all kinds of experiences with his brothers. They divided the work, they ate and they drank together. They would spend hours and hours, maybe days, out in the field taking care of sheep. And they shared in many things, but there was one thing that they didn't share. And this is that Joseph, he did not take part in everything that his brothers were doing. Verse 2 tells us that you can imagine that this one day, after working with the sheep, after being days out in the field, Joseph, he comes home to his dad, to Jacob. And this time his report is not just about how many lambs were born or, you know, the wolves that they had to drive away. But this time Joseph's report is different. because he shares with his father a bad report. A bad report concerning his brothers and what they have been doing. Joseph is saying, my brothers, they have not been acting rightly. And this is the report that he brings to his dad. Now, some people may think that this is some kind of sibling rivalry. That Joseph is gossiping. He should just be praying for his brothers instead of being telling his dad. Joseph is just acting as a snitch, as they say. But it's important to note here that these are not children. This is not some kind of rivalry between children. Joseph here, he's the youngest, and he's 17 years old. All his brothers at this stage, they are adult men. And later on in the story, we find out that these same brothers, they are willing even to kill one of their own. So they are capable of doing horrendous things. So I think we are safe to assume that when Joseph comes and tells his dad about, gives his dad this report, is not gossip. This is not slander. This is not sibling rivalry. These guys, these brothers, were probably up to no good. They were doing what was evil. And Joseph, he was not only refusing to share in their actions and to take part on whatever evil they were doing. Joseph is willing to condemn them, to condemn their actions. He's not afraid of the repercussions. He knows that this is not going to be pleasing to his brothers. But Joseph, in this case, he's not afraid of being disliked. He was a godly young man, and he will stand up for what is right. Those are adult men doing what is evil. He's the youngest, he's the smallest, but he's going to stand up for what is right, no matter what. And so the Bible says that his brothers hated him. They hated him because of his unique status, because he was the beloved son of the father, and because he condemned their evil actions. And so they hate him. But the straw that would break the camel's back was still to come. Because now Joseph, he has a dream. Not like Martin Luther King's dream, but he has an actual dream. He's on his bed and he dreams. And in his dream, he sees himself and his brothers in the field binding sheaves. And suddenly his sheave stands upright. And his brother's sheaves, they come and they bow before his sheaf. Now this may sound weird and obscure to us. But if we look at the text, it's not weird or obscure to the brothers at all. They understand right away what the dream meant. There's no doubt in their mind. They come straight away and they know the interpretation of this, what we would call a weird dream. And so they say to him in verse 8, they say, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us? So they interpreted Joseph's dream as he is going to rule. He is going to reign. And they don't like it. They really don't like it. But then Joseph has a second dream. And this time he shares this dream with his brothers. He shares it as well with his father. And in the second dream, he sees the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. So it's a different dream, but basically with the same meaning. And again, that does not go down well. And even his father this time rebukes him in verse 10. And he says, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come down and bow down to the earth before you? So this is not going well. Joseph, he's not very good at public relations. He's not doing well. And then we ourselves, we are reading this story and we may think, hold on a second, Joseph, couldn't you just keep the dream to yourself? Why do you have to be on and go on and tell these dreams to your parents and to your brothers? Can't you see that you're just making enemies? Wouldn't it be better to just keep those dreams to yourself? And if they are dreams that come from God anyway, they're going to be fulfilled. And you're not going to have a bad relationship with your brothers. You know, just keep it quiet. Keep your brothers' friendship. Don't make them hate you even more. We could think along those lines, couldn't we? But you can see here that Joseph, he didn't do it. He didn't keep it to himself. He couldn't do it. And the question is why? Why does Joseph goes on and tell these dreams, even though he sees that his brothers are hating him? Now, in the Old Testament, when in this part of history, when in Genesis chapter 37, there were no churches that people could gather to hear God's word. There were no temple. There was not a written word yet. So God, he communicated and he spoke to people through dreams. So when Joseph, he's telling his brothers, this is the dream that I've had. He's not boasting. Neither is he having some kind of egocentric, boyish dreams, as that commentator said. This is not what's going on. His dreams are God's revelation. Joseph, he's speaking to his brothers not about his fancy desire to rule. What he's telling them is God's decrees. He's sharing with them what God himself has spoken. And he's acting to his brothers as a prophet. And the thing is that his brothers, they know it. And they hate it. You see, silly dreams don't make people hate you. But they hate him. Because he's telling that God himself had chosen him, the younger brother, to rule over them. And they hate it. And they hate him. And they reject his message. And here, brothers and sisters, is the wonderful reality of God's providence and kindness. In this story of Joseph that was written around 1800 years before Christ, God, he is slowly but surely preparing the people, his people that are to come. He's teaching them about his own beloved son. He's preparing the minds of the Israelites and our own minds as well. To the reality that those things that are despised by men, they are the ones that God chooses to bring salvation through. God, through the story of Joseph, he's preparing the generations of Israelites that are to come, that they should not act like Joseph's brothers and hate the beloved son, nor should they reject his message. God was teaching his people that they should not hate the beloved son when he comes and condemns their actions. They should not hate the one who comes and speaks God's word to them. They should not reject God's chosen ruler. They may not like it, but he's God's chosen ruler. He should not be rejected. He should not be hated. His words should not be despised when he comes and reveals the word of God to them. But we know when we read the Gospels that when God's beloved son appeared, the Israelites, they forgot the lessons that could have been learned from Genesis chapter 37. They forgot the lessons taught through the story of Joseph. God's teaching went out the window. And they detested, they hated God's own beloved Son. They hated His message. They hated the fact that Jesus Christ would come amidst them and would condemn their evil actions. They hated Christ. And they hated His message. He was despised. He was rejected. His words were not taken as the words of God, as they should be taken. And day and night, the Israelites, they plotted against Christ. They conspired to kill Him. Out of hate, they swore to themselves that they would never bow. They would never see this message that He's a ruler, that He is King, fulfilled. But in the same way that Joseph, he remained fearless in the middle of his brothers. In the same way that Joseph remained fearless in persecution, so did our Lord Jesus Christ. And He did not stop telling them the oracles of God. Jesus did not back down because He was being hated. He kept on proclaiming God's message, even to those who hate Him. Even though that was making Him persona non grata amidst His brothers. He did not fear what man could do to Him, but He entrusted Himself to the hands of God. His loyalty to God was even greater than His concern about men's thoughts, about their feelings. And so the Bible says that our Lord, He was rejected, He was hated, He was despised by His very own. They refused to repent of their sins. They refused to hear His message. They refused to join God the Father in His love for the Son. And the Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ, He became a man experienced in suffering and rejection. The heir of all things, the King of heaven, the ruler of all the earth, was rejected, was hated, and was despised. Now this teaches us a wonderful lesson about how we should keep on standing firm, proclaiming God's message in a world that hates us. It teaches us that we should not fear what man could do to us, but we should instead trust our Lord and our God and continue to proclaim God's word. But the main question is, why did Christ experience such opposition from ungodly sinners? Why was He hated? Why was He rejected? And Prophet Isaiah, in a very known prophecy in Isaiah 53, he tells us why. He gives us the answer why Christ was rejected, why Christ was ruled, was hated. And it says in Isaiah 53, He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and He was held in low esteem. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds we are healed. Christ was despised and rejected. And through that rejection, through that hate that He experienced, He brought us into a place of honor. Through His suffering, Christ brought us to a place of peace. Through His rejection, by being rejected by man, He brought us into a place of acceptance. We are accepted by God the Father because He was rejected in our place. In the lowering down of Himself, in Christ's humiliation, He was bringing you and I, sinners, weak, dust. He was bringing us and He was exalting us to the right hand of God the Father. He was taking us to the heavenly places. He was bringing us into the presence of God. In Christ's humiliation, He was exalting us because of the forgiveness of our sins. And now as we join in the Father's love for the Son, you and I, we have the amazing privilege to become children of God. Not anymore children of slavery, but we become beloved children of the Father, even as Christ Himself is. Christ endured such humiliation, such hostility from sinners, so that you and I would be accepted by God the Father. And now it is placed before us, even that same question that was placed before Joseph's brothers. What do you do with the one that proclaims God's word to you? What do we do with the one that brings God's message to us? Do we reject Him? Do we hate Him for who He is? Do we reject His message? Or do we embrace our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we submit to His rule? Do we rejoice in His reigning? And if you're not yet a Christian, there is much joy and there is much love from God directed towards you through Jesus Christ. As you join in loving our Lord Jesus Christ, you are accepted as His own son as well, as His own daughter. And if you are already a Christian, we have this wonderful ruler and we keep on rejoicing in His ruling and in His message and in the proclamation of His message. So let us bow to His rule and rejoice in His reign with all our hearts. This is Christ's invitation to us this morning.